Y'all just gonna sit down without me, huh? God is good. I love praise reports of people who possess their healing. And Todd went from a smashed kneecap in a car accident. If you're going to take on a pickup truck, don't do it with a bicycle. And they had surgery to repair his knee. And 2 weeks later, he's jumping up and down and praising God because last Sunday when he came forward for prayer, he came believing he would receive.
Yeah. I need some more healing because I just started drinking some of this water.
God has every promise in that new covenant prepared with your name on it. Men of Valley, y'all can go ahead and put notes in people's hands. A couple of things to announce. Number one, ministers of the body, our first Sunday ministers meeting will be held on the second Sunday of February instead of the first, so that some people can engage in pagan rituals with the Super Bowl Sunday. Hey, sometimes you just got to get into carnality, and if they were serving Bluebell, I'd show up for the game. But I'll go anyplace for Bluebell. It's Bluebell is a constant invitation.
Yeah.
So we'll be meeting at 6 o'clock on the second Sunday with the ministers of the body instead of the first Sunday. A lot of good things are going on. In the office, in my office, there's a chair and there's a pile of extra large shirts. Now that due to losing 100 pounds, I'm extra scrawny, extra large shirts just hang on me. And so there's about a dozen shirts in there. If you need an extra long shirt, we'll grab one or two or three and be blessed. I'll remember what it was like when I see you wearing it. During the last few years, my wardrobe has changed many times. I now have 38, 36, and 34 waist slacks in my closet. When I got out of the hospital, I was 38. Then I got down to 34. I gave all of those slacks away. Then I got back up to 36, and I gave my 34s away. So now I've just decided to hold them because I don't know where I'm going. But you'll find me someplace between 34 and 38. So I've had to rearrange my closet. Fat, not so fat, real skinny. But I know one thing. I am the healed of the Lord.
Amen.
And I've had people question me and say, when do you think your new heart's going to manifest? I don't think. I know it's mine now. And for a person who they said would never walk again, I'm enjoying it. For a person they said would never talk again, you're having to tolerate it. And for a person whom they said could not live, I'm going to keep living and praising God, because when the doctor said you won't live, God said you will live and decree the glories of God. So I am decreeing the glories of God.
Yes.
And I don't plan on spending 7 months and 11 days in the hospital again. I'm waiting for the Lord to do what he said he would do in fullness. So until then, I'll keep chugging along.
Amen.
And know this, there ain't no place to quit.
That's
When you set your faith to believe God, it's until. Having done all to stand, then stand until the victory is manifest. But Pastor, it's been so long, and it'll be so good when it does manifest. Trying something new this month, this year we're going to be having, there'll be Western Sunday. The last Sunday of the month, we'll concentrate on having different themes. Western Sunday today is support your favorite team. So I'm supporting the Longhorns and the Cowboys. And they both need faith. They both need a lot of faith. But hey, since we're in that game, we'll believe God. If you got your notes and you're ready to slip in, there'll be a few less christenings after that sip. Something that rose up in my spirit while I was preparing the notes and getting ready for today. 2016 was the beginning of change, the opening of the door to miracles, signs, and wonders. In 1947, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Smith Wigglesworth, and he began to prophesy. And he prophesied the healing revival that was 1948 to approximately 1958. He prophesied the word movement, the teaching revival. He prophesied all the revivals that have happened since that time. And he said when those were concluded. So I see the seeker-sensitive, user-friendly movement waning down. So that's the end of the moves. He said, when they come to an end, you will see a great revival break forth. There will be a combining of all of the previous revivals into one, and it will sweep the earth. Amen. We are in the opening door of that season. And the Lord said to me, 2017 will bring greater change, a new era of prophetic pronouncement, an explosion of abundance for the body of Christ. Now, don't just get hung up on the money's coming. Hear what he said before. Greater change than has occurred previously. A new prophetic era. I expect to see more and more people rising up in prophetic utterance and decreeing things that are to come so they can be manifest. Because someone has to speak it into existence before it comes into existence. Light didn't just occur. God prophesied it. He said, light be. What are you prophesying? What is God speaking through you about your life, your future, your family, your church, your city, your state, your nation? He said the igniting of fires will begin worldwide. The fire of revival. You'll begin to see the igniting all over the world. It's not going to be the great Azusa Street revival, the great New York revival. It's going to be revival fires burning all over the world. And as this revival begins to manifest, which is a combining of all the previous manifestations of God, I trust you're going to be ready for it. We're talking today about the new man and the new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 said, if anyone is in the anointed Redeemer, that one who is in the anointed Redeemer is a new species of being. Something that never existed on the earth before. A combining of the natural man and the spiritual man in one person. So that the spirit man empowers you to do the natural And the natural man submits to the Spirit to do the supernatural. It takes time as you learn to walk in the things of God that the Spirit comes to empower your natural man to do things. Pastor, what does that mean? The Spirit comes on you and you have to open your natural mouth and speak what the Spirit is bubbling up from within you. Well, Pastor, I'm not a prophet. I didn't say you become a prophet, but every born-again child of God can prophesy. Just don't get to thinking because it happened once or twice that you're now a prophet. Because prophesying and being a prophet are miles apart. Prophet is an office. Prophesying is a function. But understand this. Sometimes the Spirit rises up and you have to walk over to somebody and put your hand on them. Because the Spirit empowers the natural to operate in a realm beyond what natural function could accomplish. In my life, I have laid hands on cancer patients, heart patients, all types of things. And I found that it goes in phases. We went through about a 2-year process where demoniacs were being sent to me from all over the country. I'm not talking about I think I got a demon. I'm talking about people that would levitate in thin air while you was trying to pray for them. I'm talking about people that you would start to pray for them, and a 17-year-old girl and the voice of a grisly man come out of it saying, I'm going to kill you. Great man of faith and power that I was, hair was standing up all over my body, and I had to go inside to find out what to do. Because all of my physical men were saying, run. But I watched God do miracles and signs and wonders through the year. I watched a person grab a butcher knife and fall on it, trying to kill themselves. Roll them over, pull the knife out, lay hands on them, and they went on with life. And I've seen people come with a headache, and I would lay hands on them and nothing would happen. And God would remind me, it ain't you. Did you have the unction to function or did you figure I can take care of this? And the Lord taught me, my natural man can't do anything without the Spirit leading. What's happened to the church is a lot of times we've learned how to lay hands on the sick, and we start laying hands, and the Spirit hadn't caught up with us. We learn to dance, we learn to shout, we learn to do things, and it is the Spirit that empowers the natural movement, and if the Spirit doesn't direct the natural movement, don't move. But then on the other hand, when God wants to draw you into the secret place, your natural man has to submit to your spiritual man and just go along for the ride. Because your natural man is useless in God's presence. Your natural man is useless in God's presence. Well, I've got to clap my hands. I've got to lift my hands. I've got to do something. No. Tell your natural man to shut up, sit down, and just listen. Because God can tell you more in the blinking of an eye than you can study out in a decade. And it is wonderful when the Spirit of God opens and reveals the counsel of God to you. And all of a sudden, you can't explain how, where it came from, what happened. You just know what you didn't know a moment ago. Because your natural man yielded. So the natural man has to yield to the Spirit, whether it is a function of the natural man laying on of hands, prophesying, speaking, and the natural man has to yield to the Spirit in God's presence to do nothing. So in representing God in the earth, your natural man has to yield to the Spirit to represent God, to prophesy, to lay hands on the sick, to lift up the downtrodden, to encourage. And in God's presence, your natural man has to yield to the Spirit, to shut up and do nothing, but just wait till it's over. Sometimes we miss God's presence because our natural mind tells us, you got to do something in response to God's presence. And I've seen the anointing lift because somebody started clapping their hands. Somebody started shouting. Somebody started dancing. And the Spirit lifted. Why? No flesh can glory in God's presence. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? No flesh can exalt itself in God's presence because God is greater than anything your flesh can do. In John chapter 12, verse 23 through 26, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Did he say for the Son of Man to be punished?
No.
To be beaten? To be whipped? To be stabbed? To be cursed? To be spat upon? To be stripped naked? To be nailed to a cross? To bleed out his life's blood and be laid in a tomb? No, he said glorified. Sometimes situations come to your life and the way you look at it will determine whether you benefit from it or it kills you. I'd read this verse many times and the Lord stopped me in preparation for today and he said, did you read that? Well, of course I did. You was here just when I was. And he began to speak to me about that. The Lord Jesus saw it coming and he knew they're going to beat me. They're going to nail me to a cross. They're going to put me in the grave. I'm going to be subject to hell for 3 days. Satan will attack me. The bulls of Bashan, demons will gnash on me with their teeth. And he didn't look at any of that. He said it's time to be glorified. Because all of that is passing. Glory is eternal. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. Sometimes we are preventing God from having his greatest hour in us because we don't want to die to self. I've got to find me. I've got to discover who I am. I've got to establish my identity. Be willing to fade into the tapestry of God's will and plan and purpose. You don't have to stand out to be used of God. You remain alone in your attempt to serve God until you're willing to put self down, your natural inclination to do things and to have things and to want things, until you can put it down to where, God, I want what you want me to have. I want to be where you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. Instead of praying, God, use me here, use me there, move me here, move me there. God, crown me with this. God is saying, you can't wear two crowns at once. If you got the crown of self on, I can't put the crown of glory on you. He who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. Pastor, what does that mean, hates his life? If you want to put something down, hate it. Anything you hate does not occupy a position in your life. You stay away from it. You avoid it. So what he's saying here, until the fulfillment of your physical life is put down so that the fulfillment of your spiritual life can be multiplied, You're in trouble. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Sister Michelle talked earlier about he continually leads you in triumph, but if you don't follow, and where I am, there my servant will be. So when you start serving him, you guarantee that God becomes your companion. You guarantee that you'll be where God is. Not reading Charisma Magazine, where God was. You'll be there. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. The Father will honor a person who serves the Lord. What is the transverse? There is no honor for those who don't serve the Lord. The way up is down. When what you want to do becomes less important to you than what he wants you to do, you get to hang out with Daddy God.
Amen.
And you get to be honored by God.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor Jim, I'd like God to honor me in front of the church. Well, all you got to do is serve God all week. A number of years ago, Sister Mary started coming to church, the house of the Lord, her and her son. And pretty soon, we found out she did have a husband. David showed up. And he just retired from the military, Sergeant Major. He had gained the height of enlisted service in the military. And he came to the church and he said, I'm finding out what I'm going to do. Is there things I can do around the church? And he began to show up at the church and clean and empty trash and sweep and vacuum and do stuff around the building while he was transitioning from one career to another. And I've watched God prosper them and bless them because he began his walk at House of the Lord not with, well, what programs do you offer and what do you have that I can benefit from? He gave himself in serving the church. I watch as Brother Patrick comes and cleans the church most of the time when nobody's around to see and nobody knows. And he faithfully performs the duty of a servant in God's house. Many people won't bend over and pick up a piece of paper that they dropped. But there are others who are coming and serving, and they will be honored by God. They will be promoted by God. They will be blessed of God. They will experience, you are the luckiest person around. The more I serve God, the luckier I become. Our Master spoke of the judgment of the cross as being glorified, not a loss, but a promotion. Why? It was God's will and it had to be done. So he didn't discuss it as what it was going to cost him, what he lost. Sometimes we're losing our blessing because we're concentrating on what it cost us, what we went through. When you hear me talk about the 7 months and 11 days I was in the hospital, that's about all you hear. The rest of it is, but the Lord delivered me. There's horror stories I could tell you about that 7 months and 11 days. There's things I don't want to remember. But all that's important is, he brought me out. I don't have to describe to you how hot hell is for you to know it's hot. Quit dwelling on what it cost you, what you went through, what you gave up, what you lost. Because it ain't nothing compared to, but we won.
Amen.
Verse 24 says, by itself alone, self-consumed, self-involved. But if it gives itself in service to others, the process of multiplication begins and surrender to serve others. Part of the others is God. Part of the others is the Lord Jesus. Part of the others is the Holy Spirit. Part of the others is angelic hosts. But part of the others is Kenneth, Derek, Demetrius. People right here. A true believer never sings, I did it my way. Releasing the reins of one's life to serve and to obey is the beginning of the new life in the anointed Redeemer. The average born-again or Christian saved person never experiences the new creation because they are still so involved in the old problems and what they've been through and what they gave up. I've been to churches and people would get up to give their testimony and they almost talked me into going to the honky-tonk. They spent 45 minutes talking about what they did living for the devil and 5 minutes of, but then Jesus saved me. Hon, I don't want to hear it that way. I want to hear 45 minutes of what God has done for you since and just touch on the fact that before him, you were screwed up. You was a mess. You were worthless. But now, I'm a new creation. Learn to give yourself to God first and to others in so doing. The devil wants to constantly remind you what it's cost you to be a child of God. Ain't nothing compared to what it cost him to open the way for you to be a child of God. Verse 26, follow him in surrender and the Father will honor you. Talk about something special when you're honored by God. When God points you out. When you serve, the outcome is guaranteed by God and Son Incorporated. Serving leads to being honored by God the Father. The new creation is hard. Because you've got to abandon everything that you knew about how to get ahead before you got to God. You've got to set aside all of your fleshly desires and wants and wishes that used to propel your life stream and wait on the Lord. And I'll just be frank with you. Sometimes it's not easy to wait on the Lord because, Brother John, we got to do something. But if you can still your physical self to get alone with him, you don't have to go to some deserted island, someplace where nobody else is around. You just shut the world out. Develop a place around your place. It may be under a tree in the yard. It may be a closet in the back room. It may be an upstairs venue, someplace that you practice meeting God. Have a Bible there. Have a comfortable chair or a pillow or something where you can spend time. A lot of people think they've got to get uncomfortable. No, God didn't mind you relaxing on a pillow, as long as you don't get into oblivion on that pillow. In fact, the more comfortable it is, the better. Lou and I went to Bristol, England a while ago, a couple of times actually. And that is the Witchcraft Center of Great Britain. They actually have witchcraft churches. You can drive down the street and there are buildings at the Church of Wicca, the Church of White Magic, the Church of Black Magic, where the witches meet and do things. But just outside the city, on a high cliff, there's a technical institute. It used to be a boys' orphanage. And there was a man who ran that orphanage his entire life. And there's a room that he slept in. And if you open the closet to that room, there's knee prints in the wooden floor where he spent so many hours on his knees in that closet that there are impressions worn in the wooden floor where he prayed. And for decades that school ran, and he never sent out an appeal letter. He never asked for a donation. He would go into the closet and he would present the need. And they built a huge orphanage and hundreds of young men were taught and trained. But when he died, that influence died and the devil came in to fill that void. And now what was known as a place where God's power was manifested miraculously, they're now pursuing demonic activities. We held a couple of crusades. And one night a person came and said, "We was over at Cirillo's meeting last night and we didn't get nothing. We came to see what you got." His wife had black lung disease and God healed her. We saw a prayer line that there were two demoniacs that came in the prayer line. I cast the devil out of them, and my wife thought I'd killed one of them. She was ready to run for the door because another evangelist had just been picked up for practicing medicine without a license because he was praying for the sick. And Lou was like, "Oh no, Jim's going to have to pray for her to come back." But she was just so gone when the devil left her that she was lifeless. Just because it had become the demoniac witchcraft capital of Great Britain didn't mean that miracles and signs and wonders couldn't occur there. Don't let the world set the perimeters of what's possible for you. Well, Pastor, there's evil in our city. I know it. When you got a fairy for a mayor, it's got to get worse. But know this. Greater is he that's in you than all the evil that's marching in the streets. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us does for himself. What is that saying? When you become a new creation, self gets unseated, and you're not doing what you do for self. And you're not doing it to accomplish deeds that people will recognize. For if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Sometimes we think the proof of us being the Lord's is he shows up. But he said, if you die, you're just passing one presence of the Lord into another presence of the Lord. For some people, death is the great healing because they never seem to learn how to keep what God gives them in life. But after they're gone, they're kept. They don't have to keep. Every one of you have known people that experience great healings, great miracles, and it came back. Why? You can't keep what you don't own. You have to surrender your victory to the Lord. It's not your victory, it's His. It's not your healing, it's His. It's not your triumph, it's His. Because when we begin to take ownership of these things, we separate ourselves from God. How do you think the Lord feels knowing that He went to the cross and suffered 40 stripes for your healing when He hears you go, "I got my healing"? Where is the Lord glorified in that? I cringe when I hear a person say, "I prayed until I got it." Maybe you just prayed until you got to the point that you could receive what He had done, because you didn't done it. Inarticulate that may sound. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. What is he talking about in that verse? The continual struggle to want to do things your way, to want to live things that you want. But he says, when you recognize that what I want is of second importance, what he wants is what I must pursue, now you've entered into the new creation. Because if you found out how to live your life, you've lost following. Unfortunately, there are people who know how to speak in tongues. That's dangerous. You should just yield to the Holy Spirit and let Him speak through you. Amen. I was ministering in a Pentecostal church one night, got to a lady in the prayer line, said, "Are you filled with the Holy Spirit?" And she said, "No, but I know all the words." She had been in church long enough to memorize what the other brothers and sisters said. No, that's not a new creation. It's important to you that you don't find your life. You let Him show you His life. And when you lose yourself in Him, where it's no longer you that's in charge, good things begin to happen. But it's hard because your flesh wants to do, be, have. And it's hard just to shut up and say, "God, what do you want?" We used to sing a chorus in church that said, "Give up and let Jesus take over." That's what that verse is saying. As a new creation, the first lesson you need to learn is to give up. "But Pastor, I've got a career to follow." Do you? If it's the career God wants you in, He can bless it. If it's not, you'll struggle to stay ahead. "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it." No matter how you work at defending your cause and pleading your case, you're going to lose. But if you'll lose your life for the sake of the gospel in Jesus Christ, now you find that things become easy. As Brother Price shared with you, God will bless you in the occupation God leads you to. But God is not required to bless you in the occupation or the pursuit that you've decided on. "But Pastor, that's hard." No, no, no. Wake up, church. 80% of the people who go to college never work in their degree. So if you're stupid enough to spend 4 or 6 years, or like some crammed 4 years of education into 8 short years, if you're stupid enough to give up your life for 4 years to get a degree in something you're never going to use, then how hard is it to think about giving up for a season your will and plan and purpose so that you can find His? Come on. You see, we've learned these lessons in the natural, we just don't recognize them. Many people enter into a career pattern only to one day find out that they were dissatisfied and unfulfilled in it, and they'd given themselves for years pursuing it, and then they find something that their heart sings when they do it. When I counsel with people, I tell them, find something you love and you can make money at it. But if you don't love it, if you don't love what you're doing, it becomes dreary and it'll eventually break you down to where you regret even getting up in the morning. Because you got to go do what you don't want to do. And you can never find fulfillment in it because there's no joy. Church, there is joy in serving the Lord. But Pastor, you don't know what it's like. For the most part, I was dealing drugs when many of you were in diapers. I'm not old, but Dirt and I are on a first name basis. I know what it is to live a drunken lifestyle. I know what it is to be high and just go from one high to another. I know what it is to pursue fleshly delights and pleasures. But I can tell you this, there never was a high in the world like you can have in God's presence. And there's no after effect. And they can't arrest you or seize your substance. Giving yourself over to His life and deeds is the beginning of fulfillment. Surrender to His will. Service for Him in kingdom pursuit sets you free from self-fulfillment. Submission to the Word, submission to the Lord, submission to others He puts in your life sets you free from being responsible for your life. Honor and glory are the reward for giving up. The way up is down because serving leads to reigning. When you can serve the Lord, when you can serve the Word, when you can serve His people, then God can trust you with reigning as kings and priests in this life. But there are a lot of Christians who do not have the power in their life that they rightly deserve as a Christian because they're still trying to do it their way. John chapter 17, the Lord is praying. This is the culmination prayer for His ministry. 3.5 years He's walked the way we should walk. He's talked the way we should talk. He's demonstrated how to serve, how to submit, how to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devil, how to get along with God. Our Lord went from one prayer meeting to another. But He would come out of the prayer meetings to do the will of the Father He spent time with in the prayer meeting. I must go to the mountain to pray, and He came down from the mountain. And there was a situation that needed to be changed and ministered to. But now I come to You, Father, and these things I speak in the world. Oh, church, that's so important. There are things that God wants you to speak in the world that'll change your family, that'll change your community, that'll change your nation, so that they may have My joy made full in them. I have given them Your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. If you're going to be a new creation, You can't be of the world. Because even when you hang out with them, they don't like you. Because you're different. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one who rules in the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify, separate them from the world with your truth. Your word is the truth that separates. Whatever the word said about you is true. Pastor, how long have you been sick? I'm not sick. I'm the healed of the Lord. These symptoms are passing. Somebody says to you, how are you doing? I'm blessed. I'm overcoming. I'm victorious. Because that's your God-given position. But Pastor, what if I'm going through hell? Keep your mouth shut. As you sent me into the world, I've also sent them into the world. Did you know that you've been sent into the world the same way the anointed Redeemer was? Well, Pastor, what is that way? Empowered by God to do His will and to reflect His presence. For their sakes, I separate, sanctify myself. When you see the word sanctified, it's not some super holy word. It means to separate. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves may also be sanctified in truth. He said, I pull myself away from what's going on in the world, and I align with what your word said I am to do in the world. I do not ask on behalf of these alone. Did you know the Lord Jesus prayed for Asia just before he went to the cross? Did you know he prayed for Ethel just before he went to the cross? Just before he went to the cross, he lifted Rudy and Kennard before the Lord. I do not ask on behalf of these first round of followers, but for those also who will believe in me through their word. What confidence can you take today knowing that as the Lord left this world, He was praying for you? That the same truth that separated Him from the world will separate you from the world. That the same God who empowered Him would empower you. That the same God who would fulfill His word on His behalf would fulfill it on yours. Some of us would be praying, now, God, you see what's about to happen. Are you sure you got my back? Are you sure it's going to work out? I still got time to catch a train out of town. No, facing the cross, facing separation from God, He was lifting His disciples, serving them, and He was serving you. Demetrius, it gives me great joy to know that in the greatest hour of the greatest trial that anyone would ever face, He was praying for me. He wasn't praying, God, are you sure I can trust you in this? God, is it going to hurt? God, will I be embarrassed when they strip my clothes off and beat me bloody? No. He wanted you to have the separation that brings glory and honor. Separation first from self and selfish desires. Separation from the world second. And then separation from hidden agendas. So that God becomes God of your dreams, of your hopes, of your wishes. There becomes nothing in your life that's more important to you than finding pleasure in His presence. I pray that every person under the sound of my voice experience the new creation reality. You are a miracle ordained of God, headed to an appointment to manifest God in a situation that's godless. In 2017, you're going to have to learn to yield to that Spirit when He says, speak. Don't say a word. Be still and know that I am the Lord. When He says, walk over there and just lay your hand on them and watch what I do. Well, God, what are they going to think? I just walk over and lay my hand on them. It don't matter what they think. If you do it, God will show up. Submission to the Holy Spirit this year is going to be of paramount importance. Many of you in this 2017 will begin to experience visions and dreams. I'm not talking about pizza dreams or foot-long chili cheese coney dreams. I'm talking about dreams that God shows you, saying and doing and being things. It becomes so powerful. I remember a young minister sharing. He said, I've begun to experience visions in my prayer time. He said, I'll be praying and I'll see a woman in a green dress with a string of pearls on come in and sit down halfway up to the front. And God does a miracle for her. And he said, then I'm in the church service and I see a woman walk in a green dress with a string of pearls on, and I get excited because I've already seen what God's going to do. Pastor, I don't have dreams. Shut up. Don't talk yourself out of what God wants to do for you. God said. You know, God said. You will have visions and dreams. Are you open to them? Well, Pastor, when I go to sleep, it's just black out. There ain't nothing. You're robbing yourself. Say about you what God said about you. I come to visions and dreams. He said you would prophesy. He didn't say you'd be a prophet. He said you would prophesy. Father God, I thank you that you have anointed me to prophesy your truth and to speak into situations that which you desire to do. Begin to agree with the Word so the Word can agree with you. Because as long as you're living in self, God is not living in you. He may be on you. He may be before you. He may be after you. But there comes a point where you begin to say about you what He said. And you have to say, I am the healed of the Lord. When your whole body is screaming at you. When your bank account is screaming at you, you've got to say, my God supplies all of my need. Until you begin to say what God said about you, God is not free to do for you what He said He wants to do. I'm encouraging you, church, liberate God. Let God loosen your life. Become that new creation. And Jesus said, separate them through thy truth. Until I start speaking the truth, I'm not fully separated. I pastor the wealthiest group of people and the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. Sickness and disease have no place in our midst. Our people walk in anointing. They talk in anointing. The members of House Lord come to visions and dreams. They prophesy. They lay hands on the sick. They raise the dead. They cast out the devil. You're empowered of God for service. You're not empowered of God for waiting. Except on Him. 2017, the greatest year you've ever seen. 2017, miracles and signs and wonders flowing in ways you've never dreamed possible. And God will speak to Ethel. And when she yields, God will manifest. God will speak to you and give you a word to speak. Well, Pastor, I'd rather have a paragraph. Until he can trust you with a word, he can't trust you with a paragraph. In the beginning, I used to get upset with God because he'd say this. And I'd go, that's just a word, God. And he'd say it. Well, they're going to think I'm stupid, walk up to somebody and just say. But then when I got over self and was willing to walk up, before that first word got out of my mouth, it was sentences and sometimes paragraphs and sometimes reading their mail, telling them what they had been thinking, what they had been doing, what they had been wanting. And I'm sitting here listening to it going, it's a good thing you didn't tell me all this to start with. I'd have never opened my mouth. Are you willing to be servant to the Most High? Are you willing to be servant to that person you don't want to sit by in church? Are you willing to be servant to somebody you've never met, but God says, go over to them and speak a word? When you do, the new you will begin to blossom. And you will know that you are a child of the Most High because he walks in you, he talks in you, and he reaches others through you. Father, we've brought your word this day, and your word is life to them that find it and medicine to all their flesh. I thank you that you are rising up to live big in each of us, to give us the visions and dreams you promised, to give us the prophecies, to give us your ever-present help. Father, I thank you that you never leave us, you never forsake us, but you empower us to represent you, that others may know of your great love and your great grace as you flow through us to change their lives. And the people said, if you need prayer of agreement or to stand in faith in anything, ministers will be available to pray with you. What you come in faith expecting, you can have. Just as Todd shared with you what he came in faith expecting and what God did in him. Ministers are waiting to pray with you.